Good evening to each one of you, and it's good to see everyone tonight. I thank God for this opportunity. Bless us all to have the opportunity to come together. And I truly believe that it wasn't by accident, my circumstance. I believe that God ordained for this to be here and for you to be here.
Yes.
Those that God called to be here tonight that's not here, let's keep them in our prayers, keep them lifted up, as we have prayed for some because of. And as we pray for them, I want to try to remind us that they're already healed. So let's thank God for their speedy recovery.
Yes.
Talking about bones first, earlier, yeah, the other day, I had three of those things move out of my back when I had bone surgery. That was the majority of my pain in my back. Was
right.
Three bones. Spurs.
Yes, spurs.
In my back. And I didn't know they could get, I heard getting in your feet and things like that, but in your back.
Yeah.
And they all painful. Yeah. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day, Lord. We ask God that you anoint each and every one of us
in this
morning right now. Open up our eyes and our heart and our mind to your word, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, through this anointing, God, we ask that you give us spiritual understanding of the knowledge of your will and your tonight, God, so that we will know what your calling is on our life and what your purpose is on our life for each day that we live, God, so that we can know the purpose that you've given each and every one of us each day, God.
Father.
Lord, in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As the outline you've seen, I don't think this is going to be very long. I'm going to be talking about access. And I've got a old dictionary. It's 18, 19, something, I can't remember, but it has a lot of scripture in it. And I like to refer to that when I look up word to see what God's word says about certain things. But access, I came up with a definition for access according to God's word. It's an acceptable way of approach to God and admission to his favor. How do we approach him?
Amen.
How do we have access to him? Well, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father unless they come through me.
Amen.
Okay? He is the door. He is the door. He is the way that we have access. Okay? Matthew 6:9-10, scripture says, we all know this. Most of these scriptures, there's nothing new I'm going to talk about tonight. You've heard it before, but I think God is, I'm going to give you some things that God has given me.
Yes.
And the way he explained this to me. And I'm going to share that with you. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. This is when Jesus was teaching the disciples, asked him to teach them how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And then I put this word, Selah. God gave me that word a while back, but I was interested. I would see the word as I studied the Bible in certain areas. And then I began to just study the word out, and I found out that Selah is mentioned about 74 times in the Hebrew, books of Hebrew. In other words, in Psalms, you'll see the word Selah about 71 times, and then in Habakkuk, how you pronounce that?
Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm. You'll see it about 3 times.
Wow.
So for a total of 74 times. What Selah means in Hebrew, it's got 2 or 3 different meanings. Some people think it means amen, but I haven't seen the word where it says where it means that. Mm-hmm. But what it means is, Selah could mean praising God. And it could be making praising God with instruments loud. Just one way. The way that I like it, which the Holy Spirit showed me, I like to, this place, when you say Selah, also it could mean is to stop and pause and think about what God is saying. He's putting emphasis on certain things. And when you see that word Selah, if you're reading Psalms in Habakkuk, and you're reading, you see the word Selah, sometimes they say Selah will be the ending of a chapter as you transition into the next chapter.
Yeah.
What I like, one of the definitions that I like is Selah means to stop, pause, and see what God is actually saying on certain things. So when I see that, I stop and I look at it and say, God, what are you trying to tell me in this passage?
Yeah.
I put Selah there because after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pause. Think about it. The beginning of this prayer that Jesus taught. What is he actually saying to you? I taught something about hearing from God, and one of the things that my wife, she wrote a note on it, and I picked up on it, is this. Do you want to be taught anything? Mm. Do you want someone to teach you? And it says, if you want someone to teach you, ask God.
Yes, that's right.
He'll teach you. Ask him. A lot of times we won't ask God because our mind is not there. We used to, a minister coming up, or a teacher teaching you, or some leader teaching you, or another friend teaching you, or sharing. Mm. But sometimes we just fail to ask God to teach us. The disciples, remember, they asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray.
Yes.
Mark 1:15 says, and saying the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe in the gospel.
Yes.
At hand means when you look it up in Hebrew, at hand, in Greek, it means to be near, to be close by, immediately available. Mm. I like the way the Message version said it. You know, you got that in your handout, I believe. It says it like this: time's up. You got no more time.
Mm.
Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message of God's word.
Amen.
I like the way the Message Bible says, time's up. You don't have any more time. So my question to you, to help you to have a see-all moment in your life, how do you read these passages of Scripture? How do you see it? How do you believe it?
Hmm.
How do you obey it?
Amen.
Some people, when they read the Bible, they read what they believe.
Yeah.
Some people, when they read the Bible, they believe what they read. What is the difference? Some people read the Bible, they read what they believe. In other words, when they read the Bible, they interpret the words the way they want to interpret it.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Because they turn it around so it meets their requirements of what they want.
Right.
You know, they sugarcoat it.
Yes.
But some people, when they read the Bible, they read it just as it is, and they believe exactly what they're reading.
Wow.
They don't try to interpret it. I tell people, when you read the Word of God, don't read it to try to interpret it in your way. Read it because to discover it.
Hmm.
Because God's right. Word is... it's a discovery. It's,
yes.
It's treasure. When we go in and we begin to read His Word, we begin to learn things that we never had before. And God's Word has no ending.
Amen.
It goes on. You can take any scripture and it'll go on forever. When I thought I knew everything about faith, when I was a youngster in the ministry, I found out I didn't know that much of faith. You see my hands, they're still close to God. You know how much I know about faith right now? Still that much.
That's right.
There's levels of faith that I have not even been there yet. Okay?
That's right.
That I have to discover. And sometimes you discover them as you're going through the clouds.
Right.
One of the things about the clouds, you know, they saw when Jesus calmed the storm, that in the middle of the storm they calmed. They said, so people begin to say, God's always there with me in the middle. When it happens, He's there. No. Not so. He's there before the storm even started.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
And then when you get into the middle, He's there with you. And guess what? He's not, and then He'll take you all the way through. That's what the word was designed to meet us where we're at and to take us through, to not stop, to run the race, to keep on going.
Right.
I'm going to stop trying to stay on that line because there's many ways this can go.
Hmm.
Okay. I told you what the difference is between the way some people read what they believe and some of those people believe what they read. Okay. So I asked a question there, you might have it on your own. Which one are you?
Hmm.
I think when you walk out of here tonight, we'll reason with the Lord and reason with one another. We want to be the one that believes what we read.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so what is the difference between this? This is the difference. The one, when he picked up the word, he or she picked up the word and believed what they read, every letter of it, that is the one that is anointed by God.
Hmm.
You can't read God's word and understand God's word without his anointing.
Right.
That's why I prayed and asked God to anoint us now with a fresh anointing so that we can have one. That's in the word. In the Spirit. Anoint us now, Lord, so that we can hear you.
Yes.
Anoint our mind. Paul told him when he was telling me to, he prayed and said, God, anoint our mind, anoint our heart, and anoint our eye so that we can see what you're saying. We can hear what you're saying. We can feel what you're saying. And we can have it come inside of us when your name is growing.
Amen.
So the difference is one is anointed and one is not. The anointed one is wherever God is, is where his anointing will be.
Yes.
I told somebody the day about the anointing. I asked a question. I said, well, what is the anointing of God? And a lot of people, they'll tell you things, well, it's the power of God, it's this and this.
Yeah.
Who is the anointed one?
Christ.
The anointed one is Christ. He is the anointed one.
Yes.
So wherever he is at and you're in that anointing, that's where the anointing is, Christ himself.
Yes.
In the presence of it. His presence still in this place. Him being with us and the Spirit, his Holy Spirit touching us and helping us to understand what we're... Listen, I can't do it. I can't teach you if God had not anointed me too.
Right.
If I got up here tonight and God said, I want you to sit down, I would tell you, I'm sorry, I just heard God told me to sit down. Maybe one of you has the word. And sometimes that's not beyond God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that somebody else comes in here, even though I might have been asked to minister, but I walk in and God said, sit down. And then he'll tell you what to do. Like you said, when you come, believe that you will hear him, and you will hear him.
And you will.
And if he tells you to sit down, don't be too proud. I'll sit down, and I'll sit down right now. Because, you know, given this word, sometimes you got the butterflies. And some of you see I have to go to the bathroom. I always have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
My minister.
Right.
To shake the nervousness off. I don't know what it is, but, you know, because it's not of you. It's
right.
It's God.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun.
Yes.
Everybody believe that, right?
Yep.
God's word has not changed. It's the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And it's been the same forever. Okay? There is something that God told me, though. He will have the lowest word, which is the Old Testament, the old way, and then you have the Rhema. The Rhema is what God is saying now,
right.
What God is doing now. God talks to us when we read His word. That's one way that He talks to us, and He talks to us in many ways.
Right.
But the Rhema word is when God is telling you what to do now with that word. The Rhema word is when God is telling you, When you're trying to do something without my anointing, then it's a counterfeit to what I tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did not tell you to do that. I did not anoint you to do that. This is something that you're doing out of your mind.
Right.
And it has no power. Wherever God is at, His anointing will be there. And His anointing is, the anointing will have the power in it for us to do what God has called us to do.
Yes.
Each one of us.
Yes. That's right.
The Rhema word is the exception to this. The Rhema word is the spoken word of God. Amen?
Amen. That's right. That's it. Amen.
In Isaiah 43:18-19, it says this, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?
Mm.
I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Yes. Amen.
The Hebrew root word ki is the word for behold. When he says, behold, he's saying this to you. Look now.
Yes.
Open your eyes and look now.
That's right.
See what I'm doing now.
That's right.
Hear what I'm saying to you now. Because he's telling you, I am the Lord thy God. I am speaking to you now through my word.
Yeah.
I am only an instrument of God. Okay, this morning, tonight. I'm only a mouthpiece, and that's all I want to be. I am not God. I'm just a servant. Whatever God has given me, and I studied and been before him, say, God, then use me. Atah is the Hebrew word for now, which is an adverb meaning now, already, and therefore. It refers to a certain point in time that's already been reached.
Hmm. Wow.
When we go back up here to Mark 1:15, it says, after the saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning it's now. It's here already.
Yes.
God said in Isaiah 43, he said, behold, which means look now. Can you not see it?
Yes.
Can you not see the kingdom yet? Can you not see it? Can you not feel it?
Wow.
So my question now, before we go to Exodus, the time of faith comes. We all know the scripture which says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
And a lot of people say, if that's the way God gives you, he gives it to you one way and he gives it to me one way, but it still comes out the same thing. Some people say, well, my faith comes by hearing the word of God over and over and over and over. That's what it means to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That I have to hear it over and over. That's the way my faith used to come. But my faith now comes is that I have faith in God.
Yes.
And hearing, I want to hear him.
Right.
I want to hear what he's saying now. God, when I read this word, what are you telling me about this word now? Teach me, Lord.
Mm.
Teach me so I will understand, so that I can teach others. What are you saying to me now about this word? Tell me.
Yes.
So you tell me, I give you the faith. Faith comes by hearing, by reading the word.
Amen. That's right.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Who is the word? Jesus Christ is the word of God. He taught. God is talking to us all the time. And if you're not hearing him, then you got to say, God, teach me to hear you. You know, one of the things that we teach the students in college is we got a course on the four keys on how to hear God's voice. It has changed lives tremendously. It's a 1-month course. It takes 5 weeks to do this. But I've had many, many students, some of them have been ministers for years, they come back and say, you know what, I thought I heard God's voice, but now I hear him.
Yeah.
And some of them come and say, you know, like now, like 3:00 in the morning, every day God is talking to me.
Yes.
You know, the time that God wakes me up to talk, like for this word here, he started preparing me a while back, but this morning at 3:00 I was suffering. I can't go to sleep because the scripture starts pointing in my head.
Right.
My heart gets so full the way God speaks to me because he's so real. The scriptures begin to pour in my head. He began to talk to me. He began to say, I want you to say this. I want you to say that. And then when I sit down and write up, then he said, take this out. I want you to tell him this.
Mm.
Because it's so much.
Yes.
You have to trust in God on what to give.
Yes.
So that the people receive it. And he's the only one know. Now, Brother David, you started on them. You started talking about heaven. You started to get into the word there.
Mm.
So that's good because that's a confirmation.
Yes.
That this is what God wanted. Because I want to tell you, I want to ask you, because we're going to talk about access.
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. And normally in any congregation, normally in the classroom with students, that's in the seminary in the college, I said, if I was to ask you, how many of you going to heaven tonight? Not tonight, but could be tonight.
Yeah.
But how many of you are going to heaven?
Yeah.
Everybody will raise their hand and pray that.
Right.
And Christians, some of them are, I don't want anybody looking at you to say that. But you know, everybody raised their hands and say they're going to heaven. They're not. There's some that's not.
Yes.
Okay?
That's right.
In Proverbs 16:4, God talks about that the wicked, everything was created for its purpose. Even those that are evil, in the end, they will have the disasters that they will meet. They were created for that. Listen, there's a way out of this.
Mm.
But if there was no Judah, where would we be right now? Did God not make Judah?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make Judah to do what Judah did. Judah did what he wanted to do, but it accomplished God's purpose. Everything is for his purpose. Even those that won't go to heaven is for his purpose, because God already knows who's going to go to heaven.
Right.
I had a church, and I had a whole school. I said, "You, everyone, you raise your hands and you're going to heaven. How do you know?" And I got the same thing I got now. I said, "I know how, you know, I'm going to tell you how I know that I'm going to heaven. I already gave you the answer several times. I asked God."
Yeah.
I said, "God, man has told me to say the Roman road, to be forgiven. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Sins belong to my unrighteousness, God. I claim you now as my Lord and Savior. Now baptize me, whatever it takes, God."
Yeah.
And then man said, "You're his and you're going to heaven." But when I read the word, there's going to be many standing before God, Jesus on judgment day.
Yes.
And he's going to say, "Depart away from me. I never knew you." And they called him Lord.
Yeah. And did mighty works.
And they did mighty works, but they're not going. So how do you know that you're going? Did I not say at first, if you want to be taught, ask God.
Amen.
He's our Father. He will answer you. And if you can't hear him, call me. I'll give you some lessons on how to hear him, because he talks all the time.
Yeah.
I asked him. I said, "God," and I didn't do this, you know, when I was a youngster. I mean, about 4 years ago, God showed me this revelation. And 4 years ago, I asked him, I said, "I just got tired of what they was doing and saying in church." And I said, "God, I need to know for myself. I do not want to be there on that day when Jesus standing before the Lord, and I'm thinking I'm ready, I'm going to heaven, I'm like everybody else, I know I'm going." And then he said, "Depart away from me. I never knew you." I said, "God, I don't want to be there." And God told me that. He said, "I don't want you to be there." He said, "What you need to fix now in your life, now is the time to fix it."
That's right. That's right.
Standing before me is too late.
Amen.
Because you didn't do what I gave you to do. And my word will never change.
Yes.
I am the Lord today, tomorrow, the next day, I'm the Lord. And if I'm the same Lord, I will not change my word.
Yes.
We have to change.
That's right.
And so when I asked him that, I asked him that, and then like 2 weeks later, we were standing in our home house that we sold, and I was just kind of looking out the window, and I had a vision. So I had a vision. I'm sitting, and all of a sudden, I saw this nuclear bomb blow up right in Richland. I see way across, like in the Jacksonville, and I saw this big old mushroom cloud came. I said, "Whoa!" And I'm looking at this, and then I looked to the left, and I saw all these people screaming and crying. And I looked over to the right, and I see all these people screaming and crying. And God said, "Blink your eyes." And I blinked my eyes. He said, "That's how fast you will be with me."
Mm.
What you see, you will never touch you.
Right.
And he was telling me, "Cross, you are mine."
Right.
And I looked again. And when I looked this way, I saw some of my children in there. I didn't see their face, but I saw their body. I knew it was my children. My heart just began to weep. I began to cry.
Yeah.
And I looked over here and I seen other people that I need to talk to and say, "Look, you can do something, but it's too late now."
Yeah. That's good.
And I went to my children after that, and I talked to all my children. I had all my brothers and sisters come up. They thought they were just coming up on white road. But before we had the horses and food, I began to tell them, "If you're a hype man right now, listen, we are too old." I said, "I'm in my 70s, and look at the rest of you. Some of you are way older than me, and some of you are approaching your 70s quicker. We are old now.
Yeah.
We don't have time to play games. If we're playing games now, look at our children and our grandchildren. They need to know now."
Yeah.
They need to know.
Hmm.
Is that good?
That's good. Amen.
The phrase, "the kingdom of God," occurred 68 times in 10 different New Testament books, while the kingdom of heaven comes only 32 times and only in the book of Matthew. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Do anybody know? Anybody want to explain? I mean, just whatever answer you give, it's right.
work.
Because that, here's the thing. Some people say kingdom of heaven is a place. That's what God showed me. Kingdom of heaven is a place.
It is. Amen.
And the kingdom of God is God himself. It's who he is, his character. Okay? But when you look at it, it's a synonymous word, because Jesus used, in the New Testament, Jesus uses the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven simultaneously at times. He will say some things as the kingdom of God, and some things he will say as the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Listen, when you use those two words, they mean basically the same, because they both are for God himself. Okay? Now listen, it's according to how you use it and what God is showing you. I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. Because I'm going to make this perfectly clear. It's according to how you use it, how you believe it, and how you use it. But
amen.
It's a synonymous word. It's almost the same word, but they could mean different things and be used in a different way. You know, the kingdom of the concept of the kingdom of God takes on various shades of meaning in different passages of Scripture.
Yes.
It takes up a meaning. It's boldly speaking, the kingdom of God is the rule of an eternal sovereign God over the whole entire universe.
Yes.
Do God not rule over the whole entire universe?
Yes.
That's one way to say the kingdom of God. Here's another version of the kingdom of God. More narrowly speaking, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over the heart and lives of those willing to submit to God's authority.
Amen.
His kingdom is over the whole universe, but guess what? It also is over me individually.
Yes. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right.
So, when can you go to heaven?
Amen.
I know I'm asking these questions, and I mean that word Salah. Salah.
Yeah.
That you have these moments now, you think, and that's what God wanted you to do. That's why God had me do it this way, to give you a chance. When are you going to heaven? You know you say you're going to heaven, so when do you go to heaven? A lot of people say, when I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, why do you have to wait till you die?
That's right. That's right. You don't have to.
Remember that word that we had a Salah moment on? It says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
If we allow God, the kingdom of God, to rule over our life, to lead and guide us, then will we be in the place where God is at?
Yes.
We don't have to die to go to heaven. We can start walking in a heavenly realm with God now.
Amen.
Because here's the thing. If you can't praise God now, what makes you think you want to praise God when you get where he's at? Because he's there right now. If people can't lift their hands up and they're too ashamed to praise them, say, what makes them think, well, when I go to heaven, you hear these people singing songs, when I go to heaven, I'm going to sing out loud, I'm going to praise the Lord. Well, you didn't do it when you were on earth.
Yeah.
And he was there.
Yeah. 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 Amen.
Do you have access now?
Yes.
Yes. To have access to the kingdom of God, you must first seek the kingdom.
Yes.
You must want it.
Amen.
God said in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek ye first.
Amen.
The kingdom of God.
Yep.
Listen, brother, God didn't save me so I can go to heaven.
Yes.
He saved me so I can have fellowship and worship him and be with him.
Yes.
Heaven just happened to be a benefit of knowing God.
Amen. As
my Father. He didn't save me to go to heaven. If I have fellowship with him now, I can walk right where he's walking right now in peace. Therefore, when things are happening all around me, I have total peace because I know who's my God. I know where I'm going. I know who I belong to. I know I belong to him. So whatever you do to me, you want to take this life from me? Take it.
Right.
Because I'm a long time. I mean, my Father, man, you can't do nothing to me.
That's right.
You can't destroy my faith. You can't destroy my attitude. You can't destroy anything about it. You can't change my mind. My mind is made up. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I've had my moments of Salah where I just think and grasp, whoa, this is my God, my Father. I'm so honored that he's my, no, some man told me this. He told me this.
Yes, amen.
And I don't have to wait until I die. It's too late. Walk with him now.
Yes, that's right.
Let him rule over your life now. Ruling over your life means that now, because the kingdom is where God rules.
Amen.
Heaven is where he stays. Yes. I want him to rule over my life.
That's good.
And I want him to stay in my life. I want to stay with him.
That's right.
And I want to learn how to do that now.
Yes.
I can't wait to go to heaven. I might be waiting and not say, well, I know I'm a Christian, so I'm going to heaven. So I can do whatever I want because I don't have to raise my hand. I don't, I don't have to read the word. I don't have that thought or anything. I've got it all ready.
Yeah.
And be one of those ones standing in line, waiting to hear a job well done. And he goes,
yeah. Or,
I don't want to be that person.
Yeah. Amen.
And I don't want nobody to be that person.
No.
I don't want my children, my grandchildren. I don't want you to be that person. The word said that we are to, so Paul told in Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians, he said, never forget to give thanks for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And continue without ceasing praying for one another. We are supposed to be praying for one another all the time.
Right.
Amen.
Listen, wait a minute. I put in there, wait a minute, you know, there's something wrong with my seeking him. Some people try to seek God without obeying him. Some people try to seek God without trusting him.
That's
some people try to seek God without believing in him.
Amen. Certainly do.
You can't do it without all these four things. I found out God told me that there's four components. You got to have faith in him.
Yep.
You got to believe in him.
Yep.
You got to trust him. And you got to obey him to know him.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
That's, I call that the circle of life. So what? So wait a minute. Am I seeking him with the help of his Holy Spirit? You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will lead and guide you and direct your footsteps. Some people don't want to believe that there's a Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will send someone back, a comforter who's just like me to be with you. Trust him. And I talked to the Holy Spirit all the time. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me with this message. Help bring to my memory the word that you put inside me. Help bring the scriptures to my memory, so that I can, and use my mouth to speak to me.
Amen.
Anoint me. Let me walk in your anointing, God. Be there with us. Fill this place with your presence so that the people are taught. Use me, God, in any fashion if you want to. So, am I seeking help? Am I seeking him without the help of the Holy Spirit?
Mm.
Is my crying out, my singing, my shouting, my running, offering, giving offering and returning his tithe to him? Is that what required of me? No, it required more than that.
Yes.
God wants more of you and me.
Yes.
And we must come to an understanding.
Amen.
That we must decrease.
Yes.
So that he can increase.
Yes.
His kingdom in our lives. God wants to reign in us.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Listen, when we read his word, he talks to us. When we read his word, he teaches us. We don't decide what God has for us when we read his word. We discover it.
Amen. That's right.
What he has for us as we read and ask his Holy Spirit to give us understanding and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Access. First, allow God access in your heart continually, and this will allow you to access the kingdom of God, which is God. Now you're living in heaven, right here on earth.
Yes.
What are you waiting for? Better yet, why wait? Amen?
Yep.
Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given us, my Father. Lord, let this word grow in us. Help us to meditate on this word. Let us, when we wake up tomorrow, God, that we walk in this word, Father. For your word is the bread of life that we need to eat and consume and chew on and stay in, God. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit direct us according to your word. Daily, Father. When we wake up, Lord, let your word be on our tongue. God, bless us. Give us an anointing each day, God, so that when we speak, that our speech is full of your grace. and that our words are seasoned with salt, so that we know how we ought to minister Christ to one another and to others, God. Lord, for we give you all the praise and all the glory for everything that you've shared with us tonight. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Dr. Raymond Leach, Chancellor, CTS, Covenant Training Seminary. Home group meeting.
Yeah.
9 April 2024.